Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Well, give a big shout out to our Christian Television Network audience out there and those that are listening to us.
Mindsets. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. But it's mindsets. It's so frustrating when we don't deal with our thoughts. We don't that people talk about everything but their thought life, like God's not. I mean, Jesus said over and over again, knowing their thoughts, he said. Word of God says, knowing their thoughts, he said. Listen, God knows what we have need of before we even ask. Mm-hmm. And mindsets are just, it's amazing. You can tell, you got to deal with your mind. You're going to have to deal with your mind. You can't keep on having stuff go into your mind that is contrary to what God says and think that your body's going to line up. I mean, you're creating just turmoil for yourself when you're doing that, including allowing thoughts about yourself or thoughts about others that are the accuser they're just whatever. There's not fruitful faults, you know, and he tells us about what we're supposed to be thinking about. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. And he tells us, listen, that our battlefield that we fight is not a battlefield in some land somewhere. It's not in a relationship somewhere. The battlefield is in our mind. It's in our mind. And that's where the enemy fires these flaming arrows of accusation, of doubt, and all these. I mean, all of a sudden, a thought just hits you out of the middle of nowhere. You know, Ephesians chapter 6 talks about that. Paul, he writes to the church of Ephesus but our faith and understanding, that's when we have to get in the Word of God. Our faith annihilates and destroys and demolishes those mindsets and those flaming arrows he fires all the time. We're not what we're being attacked with, but we are being attacked continually as long as we're in this life. We have to respond to that. And it makes me think about, you know, that we can just get such a mindset. And it's so cool to watch folks, because you hear people just constantly talk about everybody, you know, and everything. And it never crosses their mind that they could be the issue. It just never, you know, their prayer life, their confessions, their angles, the way they deal with things, it never crosses their mind. They don't ever think, well, maybe it actually is you that is the issue, and it wasn't that person being wrong, but God was just separating the two of you, the 10 of you, the 20 of you, the 100 of you. Because you're the one causing problems and all that. It's like a big, you mean God would separate me? You know, the whole thing just never crosses the mind. And it's like, you know, you should always ask the question, Lord, is there anything that I need to do? And you'd be surprised. Oh, yeah. Wait for the answer. You know, wait for the answer. And, but he tells us, you know, we're in a war, but we don't fight with the weapons of this world. On the contrary, our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And strongholds are sentences that we're serving, mindsets, things, thoughts that came our way and became a part of our life. You know, demolishing them and destroying them and bringing every thought into obedience to Christ. I mean, that's what we're doing. It's literally, you know, how is your mind? I can tell you how your life is. You know, what's your thought life like?
Right.
And well, just give you an example of this, you know, that I was caught up in just busy or whatever, and I was going into the Cracker Barrel restaurant. At one of the Cracker Barrels, there's one every 5 feet in America. And I was in a meeting, I guess, or something, and so I was going to go to the restroom. You're not going to believe this. I was going to the restroom, but I was in my zone. What's that?
We might believe this.
Yeah. You know, I'm in that zone, right? In the zone. And just kind of, you know, knocking that out and getting back. And at that time, there was things going on that they were talking about, you know, integrating the sexes and there's no difference between men and women and we're all, all the stuff was going on. And And I didn't even look at, I didn't even look at the door. I didn't even look at the door. You know what I'm saying? And I opened up the bathroom door and I thought, my goodness. Now they've taken away all the things that we know they're in men's bathrooms, right? And it was like a whole bunch of rooms or something. You know, I'm like, I was just couldn't believe it. I'm like, my goodness. I was just so distraught. I'm thinking, they've even changed our bathrooms. And so obviously I had to go into a closet, and I'm in a closet. And next thing you know, I hear this lady's voice.
You hear what?
I hear this lady's voice. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. I'm trapped. I'm in this closet. Oh my goodness. What do I do? Dear God, I need a word. I need a word. You know, because you can't, you're like little rooms and stuff. By the way, you don't know this. There's little rooms in there. And you're like in your own little room, and it's like, what do I do? And of course, it's Cracker Barrel, 10 trillion people. And this is obviously sometime back, because I read the doors now. I don't care what's going on. I even rubbed the braille. Okay, yeah, that's the men's. And so I waited for silence. And I booked it out of that puppy and came in there and just went totally just try to block it out of my mind. And by God's grace, CNN wasn't outside the door. Explain this. I can't tell you. I can't tell. I have no idea. And, of course, all the people around me go, it can happen. It can happen. And so, but the mindset was I wasn't in the wrong place. The mindset was they've changed what was. But the issue was not where I was. The issue was me, because I was thinking, I literally went through all these processes. Going, I can't believe they removed all the male things, you know, I'm going to talk about where they are, you know, from the walls and stuff. It's like, I can't believe it. We got to sit down for everything. No, anyway. And, and of course, I realized that at that one moment when I heard somebody's voice, and you couldn't see nobody, and you couldn't see anybody, because it's like different rooms. And, but you could hear, it's like, oh my gosh. And then it's like, all those thoughts were wrong. Every bit of it was wrong. And it's very, very important, because so many people live their lives like they're sitting right in the middle of something, and you're discerning it totally wrong, and you've made up your mind, and all of a sudden you're going to hear the voice of the Lord, and you're going to realize, you know, this is wrong. I need to do what's right. And this mindset, I had just had this mindset, and I was, you know, focused and wasn't, you know, paying attention where I was going through. And a lot of different restaurants have different names. They put the lady's name on the male's door and vice versa, Padres and all that kind of stuff. But the reality is that you can just get a mindset. You can just get a mindset that you're never thinking outside the box. So which means this, you have to pay attention to what's going on around you. Mm. You have to constantly be outside of yourself. And there's some folks, you know, that was a moment. There's some folks, they live inside themselves. Hmm. They are a law unto themselves. Everything, they're the epicenter of all happening, and how that brief moment that I had, they literally live in that moment. Huh. And they never crosses their mind that the world's not built around them. Huh. And that every thought that they're having is not necessarily, you know, God's thought. And think about that how important that is. That's just so important, because if we're wrong, we need to know we're wrong. But if we're not open up to the fact, he says, listen, we know in part and we prophesy in part, which means you got to find out who has the other part. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to find this out. You got to be open to counsel. You got to be open to have people around you. You want to hear, this is something we say often, what is God saying to you? Mm-hmm. We want to hear from other ministers and other believers, you know, what God's saying. We don't ever say that he's only saying what I'm saying or what someone else is saying. We're saying this is part of what God is saying. Mm-hmm. And that mindset, I was so convinced when I walked in there that they totally remodeled the men's restroom. Totally remodeled it. Mm-hmm. Didn't cross my mind. I went reluctantly in one of those closet things, and it didn't dawn on me. So I heard a different kind of voice, and I'm like, oh my goodness. Thank God that we did not see each other. Just God laughing at me as I'm booking you out that door. But listen, don't get that kind of mindset. Don't be caught down thinking that you know, you are always right. You know, be open to being wrong. Believe it or not, Pat's been wrong more than once.
More than once?
More than once.
Frequently.
Wow. Yeah, we don't have that kind of airtime right now. But but seriously, I mean, that was just really, really embarrassing. And if when you get back and look at your life, and if you've been living your life like that, other people can see those moments in your life, and they can see how, they said, aren't you, you know, we've quite often we've said to people like, aren't you embarrassed? Right. And they go like, nope.
It didn't cross my mind.
It never crossed their mind. You know, it never crossed their mind because they
not a little pink in the face.
No. Not a little pink in the face or nothing because it never crossed their mind that they could be wrong. How they're perceiving you, how they're perceiving what God's doing. And it's just amazing. And it's how foolish that looks. Mm. What happened to me? It's happening every day, every single day with God's people. And we have to be open to what God is saying. And if you're only hearing from yourself, if you're only hearing from yourself and you're not hearing from others, and this is really dangerous because based on a lot of statistics that we have that I don't have in front of me right now, a lot of ministers are only hearing from themselves. Mm. Because I remember in the traditional sense, you'd ask people, what's God saying to you? And they go, absolutely nothing.
I have no
so
idea.
Everything that they're hearing then comes from that one man or woman of God that's ministering. It's like, so you need to have relationships with other ministers so that you can hear more holistically what God is saying and be open to people looking at you and going, dude, you are in the ladies' bathroom with this word. This is not a God word. This is not a God word. God didn't change everything. God's still merciful. God is providing a way out. Yes, you know, calamity could happen, but listen, God loves you. God's got a plan for your life.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There are seasons that most of us experience in marriage. This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute, and Patricia Ashley vividly describes a difficult time in her marital relationship.
When I say it was dead, I mean that I didn't love my husband. I didn't hate him. I wasn't glad to see him come. I wasn't glad to see him go. It didn't make a difference what time he came in or if he came in at all. Yeah, do y'all, that's dead, huh? No feeling.
Well, Patricia went on to share how God brought a spark of life to her marriage as she and her husband prayed, and he gave them hope to begin working on their relationship. And now they're celebrating 43 years of marriage. You can hear all of Patricia's inspirational message today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
God, the creator of the universe, loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants to walk with you and make his heart known to you. He wants to forgive you of where you failed and you made mistakes, where things came to an end and you think there's no hope. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. God is wanting you to meet him. He's not far from you, but he had to make a way for you to get to him. And he did that through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you've got to meet Father God. Jesus came for one reason. He came for this reason at all, to make the Father known. That's our ministry to you. We want to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. We shared a couple of our stories. We didn't share everything, but you know the ones that we did share, we're just trying to tell you that we're just like you, you know, and maybe worse, you know, that we needed God, you know, that I was going the way of the world. I was lost. I looked for love in all the wrong places. I ended up on a dead end street, all those different things that, you know, you go through in your life. You run after, you know, wealth and things and geographical locations and people and all that. And it just ends with the same, probably worse, because now you have all these things that you went to that just left you high and dry and ashamed and all that. Let me tell you something. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He's made a way that he can forgive you, cleanse you, and all of those wrongs and all that sin, he can totally take that away from you through his son, Jesus Christ. You got to meet him. Listen, he wants to know you. Are you ready to know him? You've got to meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, you know, I was thinking, I don't know if you thought about this, but I was thinking about when we met years ago, together in our men's group.
Yes.
Damn. And
this was before you went to New Jersey.
Yeah. And we've known each other for quite a while. Quite a while. And me, you, Chris, and a few other guys who were in that group. But I was just thinking how powerful that time was together. You know, where we got together once a week.
Right.
And we just really were just the church. It's kind of like a rethinking church moment, if you will. Because,
yeah.
You know, Matthew 18:20 says, "For two or three come together in my name, there I am with them."
That's right.
And so, wasn't that some pretty amazing times?
It was awesome, man. I remember. I was right at the beginning days when Steve first came to the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I remember those talks.
Oh, yeah. Steve.
Oh, yeah. Love you, man. That's good.
Steve, but many others, too.
I remember Jackery was with us. I'm drawing a blank.
Well, those.
But it was good.
It was a good group. There's some other ones too. I mean, but
yeah.
But we met once a week, and I mean, normally it's like, were we busy then?
Not like we are now.
But we were busy.
But yeah,
we've always been busy. But
always,
but it's amazing how we committed that no matter what, we set a time aside that we valued.
That's right.
What God was doing among us and through us, and that, you know, as a church, as men, we should get together and really be there for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for me, it was so encouraging that no matter what was going on during that week, I knew that I was going to be with my brothers, that we were going to have some
Tuesday
guy
night.
Time.
That's right, Tuesday night.
Yeah, we were going to get together and talk.
That's it.
You know, we were going to just not only break bread, you know, physical bread, but we broke bread. We broke the word. We shared and encouraged each other.
That's right.
And I know Chris would come straight after work and meet us there too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, sure did. Yeah, I really enjoyed those times being able to meet.
Yeah.
You know,
wasn't that awesome?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And all those cups of coffee, Foo Foo Creamer.
Isn't there something? we'd go to Village Inn.
We'd throw down some creamer.
You know, we'd go to the diner. And sometimes we ate, sometimes we didn't.
Right.
But I tell you, you know, the waitresses, every time we'd have they knew us by name.
Yep, they saw us coming.
And they loved on us. I mean, they knew we just wanted a table. It was practically empty all the time. It was amazing. Every time we went, it was like always pretty much empty. We had a place all to ourselves, a corner at
least. Almost the same table every time.
Yeah. And we'd leave a really nice tip because we were just really occupying a table, have some coffee, maybe, you know, one of us would have a dessert or a meal or something. But we did a really, really nice tip. And after a while of just being consistent and being there and just, you know, as you love each other, people will know, people will be drawn to God.
That's right.
And how many times did they come over with prayer requests and say, can you pray for us for this? Can you?
That's right.
Isn't that really cool?
Yeah, that was really cool. Yeah. It's awesome times.
Do you think that's easy to do to formulate those type of relationships where men can come to get together and begin to share and talk, not just about anything, but really about the things that matter in life?
Is it easy?
Yeah.
Probably not at first if you're not used to that, you know, especially if you've never, you know, really opened up, you know, you've been pretty closed off for many, like most men, you know, they don't talk about their feelings or what's going on in their lives.
Well, it was very easy for you, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, piece of cake.
Chris just, we couldn't get him to stop. I was like, Chris, okay, give someone else a turn, Chris.
Yeah, right.
We don't want, we don't want to hear another thing about your truck. You don't know.
or that dog you ran over. No.
Oh, no.
Oh, man, you had to bring that one up.
I was not covering that up, but you did.
Yeah, right.
but
this is... No, but if I can interject.
Please.
I remember in the past, you know, when I first came to the Lord, you know, when we, the first men's group that I was involved in, which was, again, with you, John.
Oh, yeah.
And some other guys. That was a huge breaking point in my life, and I was not a talker.
No.
In fact, you know, if I really go back, that it was because of a men's group that I even came to the Lord.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Because I was, you know, I guess, you know, I was seeking at the time, you know, because God had started, you know, touching my heart at that time. And I remember, you know, Pat had invited me to come out to a men's group out.
Yeah. And you came willingly.
Cantonment. Kicking and screaming the whole way.
Kicking and screaming.
Yeah. And, but I remember, you know, I was actually coming to be put in a small men's group one night.
Right. To join one, right?
Right. To join one. And, when I showed up, well, actually, and I got to back up, but I hadn't fully, you know, made a commitment to the Lord, mm-hmm. but it was on my way to this men's group when was the first time I had turned on Christian radio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that particular time, the station had a power verse of the day. And the verse was, oh, Pat, help me out, brother.
It was in James.
Yeah, it was in James. You know, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. When he has stood the test, you know, he shall surely receive the crown of life that God, you know, gives to those who love him.
That's right.
And, wow. And, but for me to get out of my house, cause back during that time, I had a huge fear of man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, it was hard just to get out of my house every day. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, I was supposed to go to this meeting. I called Pat. I was like, hey, we're going to meet. And he's like, no, I'm already in a group. I'm not going. Like, what? Are you kidding me? You know, I've met these people twice. And you're,
I got to go by myself.
You're sending me out to this pack of wolves. What are you doing? You know, I had no idea, you know,
right.
And, but it was, you know, it was on my way there. You know, finally it was the Holy Spirit. You know, I know now that I just couldn't stay in the house anymore. I had to go.
Right.
You know, I mean, I fought it, but then end up, you know, I just had to go. And on the way, I heard that scripture, and that was just like, that was it. I mean, God spoke to me. It was mm-hmm. like, I was so excited. I was just I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to get there.
Yeah.
And,
right.
And I show up, and nobody was there. You know, but that was for me.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
God had set
totally
that
set up.
Totally set me up. You know, at that moment, that for me to hear from him.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
You know, and then, of course, I called Pat and just, you know, it was huge. It was huge. Yeah,
that was a turning point.
That was the turning point, you know, for mm-hmm. me, was coming to that men's group and God spoke to me and I turned my life.
It's so powerful, man. It's so powerful what you're sharing. And we talk about men's group, but really it's the church. You know what I'm saying?
Right?
It just happened to be men.
Yeah.
You know, it's not men and women or children, but it just happened to be men. But it's a church where any two or three are gathered. I mean, it's God's there in the midst of them, right?
That's
mean,
right.
You got God. You got the Word.
That's right.
You got His presence. I mean, I think this qualifies as the church.
Check,
you know,
check. Right.
And, you know, growing, you know, it takes authentic relationships to get through, you know, to begin to start developing that relationship in God. You know, God, you know, you're abiding with the Lord. You're hearing His voice, but you need to be discipled. You need to grow in God.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing like getting together with other men or friends, because ladies can do it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people are meeting all the time together, but that you're not talking about, you know, it's fluff and things or whatever, but you're talking about the real issues in life. You know, you're talking about the real things, you know, and these groups, we talked about it all. I mean, we talked about it all, which was great,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we realized that we needed each other mm-hmm. in God to hold each other accountable and to encourage each other. I mean, how many times would we come in on a Tuesday night and begin to share, you know, hey, what did God share with you Monday? Mm-hmm. What did God share with mm-hmm. you last week? And, you know, it never, I mean, this almost happened every week, but mm-hmm. someone would be going through something or something would be happening in their life.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh my goodness, God shared this word with me last week.
Yeah, right.
And here you are, you had other men that were pulled out their journal of what God spoke to them. It's nothing more, you know, it's like, this is what God shared with, and
right.
you're hearing for yourself, and yet God gave you something not only that blessed you, just like he spoke to Joanne in the middle of the storm, but it's something that will be able to help your brother. You know, the Bible says that, you know, we shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we need this relationship with the Lord, but we need this relationship with each other.
And just like Proverbs says, you know, as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another.
That's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, those are the biggest growing points, you know, in my walk with the Lord. Is when, you know, and I'm sure it's the same for women, you know, because you have to be able to glean from one another. You
right.
know?
Sure.
You can, you can, what's the word? You know,
borrow the experience?
Borrow the experience, right.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I remember at that time too, Chris, now tell me if I'm wrong or anything, but you didn't like crowds at that time. You weren't into crowds.
He wasn't into people.
I wasn't into people at all. But that and that's another testimony when you drug me to St. Petersburg.
Oh, no, see, there you go. Listen to this, Pat. We go down to Tropicana Stadium, I think it was, down in St. Pete to this huge men's gathering, thousands of men, you know, that just love God.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, okay, Chris. So he's like, oh my goodness, you know, there's people everywhere, all these guys.
Yeah, right.
So I go down at the base on the bottom of the floor, stadium floor. They have just resources and material, and you know, I'll go to a place like this, you know, and I'm like, oh, give me all of it, you know.
Yeah, right.
And so I said, Chris, come on, we're going. He's like, no, come on, Chris, we're going. I drug him like all these flight of steps all the way through all these people.
No, you didn't do that.
He did. It broke, didn't it?
It did.
Yep.
But that's what broke that fear off of me.
Mm-hmm.
Was going there and experiencing that, you know, with thousands of men in one place. And God just broke that fear off of me then.
Yeah, crying out to God and having a brother and brothers that are willing to stand with you.
Mm-hmm.
And to say, hey, look, we're going to get through this. You know what I'm saying? This is going to come off you, not judge you, not whatever, but in the love of God saying, you know, you can get past this.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I encourage you to live your life with no regrets in regards to God, because we're all going to face the Lord. We're going to say, you know, he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you, what I entrusted to you? And you can actually, on your own, despite everybody else, you can say, you know what, I'm going to live my life with no regrets when it comes to God. I'm just going to do it. And the thing about the difficult thing when you do that, a lot of people don't understand they're going to have regrets. So there's a little conflict sometimes with people who are going to have a lot of regrets. So somebody says, I don't want to have regrets. I want to use this life for God, this moment, this vapor in time. And everybody says, you know, in the end of their life, no matter what they say two things, two simple things. They say, go call the pastor. What's his name again? So they say, what's his name? You know, because I want him to pray for me, right? Because the last moment, you know, get that prayer in. And then they say, I wish I would have done more for my family because I'm about to leave them. And the next regret they have, they say, I wish I would have done more for God because I'm about to see him.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. You're about to see God. And the truth is, it might not happen in old age. It could happen today. Are you going to make a choice to say, you know, I want to live my life with no regrets. I want to be able to say, I want to eliminate tomorrow's regrets today by saying, you know what? I'm going to redefine family again and quit making it narcissistic about my biological connectivity and say, the family of God, I want to do for the family of God. God says he's not unjust. He will not forget the love you have shown him as you help his people and continue to help them. This is how we love God. We love each other. And then we stand before God. You know, I poured it all out. There's nothing left. I mean, you know, I worked that one brain cell to death, you know, but, it took, anyway, but you, whatever it is, just lay it all out for God. So when you know, when you meet the Lord, I mean, obviously, you know, that is probably stuff we didn't even think about, but whatever we knew to do, we did unto God. And it's like, you know, that's a precious gift. That's a once in a lifetime, eternal lifetime to be able to have, to be able to give. And I could imagine showing up at the throne room of God. I mean, thank God the Lord gave me more life that I was able to start living life without regret. But you could show up and it's like, yeah, you know, I watched cable. I robbed you. I couldn't tithe. But I did say a prayer. And are we in? I mean, what are you going to say, right?
Right, exactly.
What are you going to say at a moment like that? I encourage you to get involved with what God is doing today. Maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Join in someone who takes walking with God eternally serious.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
And that's why we need to develop authentic relationships. You know, just can't be coming into the church gathering and saying, hey, God bless you and what's up, and get a you know, message and cheer. You know, there's a highlight on the torch called don't cheer me up, you know, lift me up. Don't give me a rah-rah, sis-goom-ba, and I'm dying.
Right.
I'm dying.
Right.
You know, my marriage is falling apart. My job is, you know, my children, all this type of stuff that people are going through. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you can't come to get a lift me up, but we got to be able to carry each other's burdens. Really, that's so needed in the body of Christ today, where we're, you know, walking together and discipling each other. And I'm glad that we're doing still doing that today.
Right.
But you know, it's what Jesus told us to do. I mean, it's not really hard. It ain't rocket science here, you know.
Right.
He said, go and make disciples. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And he didn't say go make a convert. So go, you know, get someone to pray a prayer. He says, go and make disciples and grow them up in him. You know, teach them to hear my voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so good. And I enjoyed that time that we had with each other, where we were holding each other, just like I said, accountable and growing and speaking and praying for one and each other's needs. But I wanted to share how oftentimes that in this process and in this journey of growing with God, you know, you're on a journey, that sometimes people are tempted to have this kind of a stop and go, you know, relationship, you know, where things are going well, maybe I'm abiding, and then all of a sudden things are going too good.
Adversity.
Too good.
Mm-hmm.
And you start skipping spending time with the Lord. You're not praying. You're not talking to him. It's like, wait a minute. What, you don't want to have kind of a stop and go relationship. What you know, kind of what is that? Even if that even exists.
Right.
Like, kind of you try to come up with an analogy that maybe may help to frame what we're talking about. You know, Colossians 2:6, it says, So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue.
Mm-hmm.
Continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving. Think about that.
Mm.
He says, listen, just as you receive the Lord, just as you accept him as your Lord, continue. Don't stop. You know, a relationship is something that needs to be fostered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think about the joke that I've often heard when the wife says, you know, tells the husband, I don't hear you say that you love me. Do you love me? He says, woman, I told you we got married that I loved you. If it changed, I'd let you know.
Right.
You know
what I'm saying? Yeah.
I don't think that really works.
That doesn't work too well.
Yeah, I don't think that works. You know, in order to have a relationship, you need to continue what you first started. You have to, you need to be engaged in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just about saying a prayer. Come on now. It's not just about getting a get out of hell free card, if you will. And I can't wait. Hopefully next week we'll get a chance to talk about the reality of heaven and hell, and just, oh my goodness, just so much to share on VFN Radio, the encouraging stuff. But it's not just, you know, we're not praying a prayer to check off a box and say, okay, got my Jesus now. No, it's a relationship that needs to be fostered. It needs to be continued. It needs to be engaged.
Right.
So he says, so then just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue what? To live in him.
Right.
In Christ, in God. That means following his ways, you know, making his values your values.
Mm-hmm.
You're in him. You are abiding. You're remaining in the vine. You're connected with God. You're not living a life separate of God, but continue to live in him. Continue to live following the ways of God and putting him at the forefront of your life. Then he says to live in him, rooted and built up in him. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to be rooted. So many times the cares of life come in, and you're like, the storm is coming all over the place. There's wind and all kinds of things happening. And oftentimes you may see a believer that just kind of maybe falls on the side of there. It's just, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
And we know about the parable about the good soil and how the seed was scattered on the different grounds.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want the cares of life to choke out what God's doing in your life. You don't want God to be at the forefront of your mind, so all of a sudden he's all the way in the back of your mind. What, you know, you want to stay at a continual place where you're growing in God and meeting on a continual basis like that, fellowshipping with the church, being transparent, being real, carrying each other's burdens is a way that you can continue to be engaged in that relationship. Because you know that when you gather together again as the church, your brother and your sister, because they love you, are going to ask you.
Right.
How are things going?
That's right.
How was your bonding time this week? How are things going at home?
Mm-hmm.
And it's that accountability and that transparency and that openness that reminds us to say, you know what? I'm not by myself. I can continue this walk. I'm encouraged walking this out with the Lord. And I need to have roots down deep. Mm-hmm. I need to go down deep with God.
Right.
You know, and that's what Chris is talking about. You know, I started out and, you know, my goodness, Chris is not even the person. None of us are who we used to be. We're not what we need to be.
Right.
God's still working on all of us.
That's right.
But my goodness, you got to get roots down deep.
That's right.
You got to get roots down deep.
You
got
to build a firm foundation.
Without a firm foundation, we talked about this yesterday, how to prepare for the storm. You know, the winds, the wind, the rain will come. But if your foundation is not on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, what is your foundation on?
That's right.
Let me tell you something. You're building something. The question is, what are you building and what is the foundation of what you build?
That's right. Is it going to stand?
Is it going to stand?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? And you can't judge the quality of what's being built when there is no storm. You know, I used to love when we used to see those commercials say, you need to get these hurricane shutters and you need to get this hurricane duty, you know, force winds that'll hold it up. Well, that sounds really good, but the only way we really know if that's hurricane proof, you know what I'm saying? Is when you actually have a hurricane.
That's right.
And it's still standing.
That's right.
You know, it's the trial that reveals what's really there.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to have roots down deep on this side of the trial, because if you don't, you're going to be carried away with it. So he says, being strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thanksgiving, you're going to have a heart of gratitude. There's so many things to be grateful for. Really, how can we stay in a place of being just downcast and saying, you know, the continual state of woe is me?
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. Life is good. You know, you look around. Five fingers on each hand, five toes on each feet. You know, food to eat. Living in America, blessed constitution. You know what I'm saying? We can serve God freely and not being persecuted yet. Praise God. You know what I mean?
Think about it. There
are some things to be very thankful and grateful for. In fact, we're coming upon, you know, a wonderful time of the year, Thanksgiving, and I love that holiday. I really do because it really gives us a time to reflect and being grateful for what we do have instead of, you know, being dissatisfied and discontent with what we don't have. And one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not covet. It's kind of a, you know, word that most people don't use today or are familiar with, but it's like, we talked about this before, where it's not about desiring what someone else has for your benefit, you know?
Right.
Some of the young people say, don't sweat that stuff. Don't be sweating somebody's things, you know?
Right.
That's for the younger generation you're listening here today, you know? But
we don't sweat that stuff.
Yeah, you don't sweat. Don't peek over your neighbor's fence and be drooling over what they have, you know, with this deep envy that you don't have it.
Right.
You know? That we should be content, because godliness with contentment is great gain. Learn to be satisfied with what you have and what God has allowed you to have. You're blessed. But if you spend all your time, you know, thinking that you don't have anything, that's not a good place to be.
Mm-mm.
Because the little the great that you do have, you know what I'm saying, it's going to be taken away from you.
That's right. You may not have it very long.
Yeah, and we learned that during hurricanes ourselves. Remember that?
Like, that's right.
I think you learned
in the summertime.
I think you learned to never say never, right?
Absolutely, I sure do. I ate all those words, and I'm just so thankful.
He'll never say that again. Ever. I will never.
That's right. Absolutely right.
God has a way to make you eat them words, doesn't he?
Oh my goodness.
Oh my.
Don't ever say that. Trust me.
Exactly. Just say, you know what? Thank you for my daily bread. You know Amen. What I mean? Thank you for my daily bread.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 8 says, "See to it." See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of the world rather than on Christ. Listen, when you're gathering together as a church, one of the benefits is when someone comes in with these hollow and crazy and deceptive, I mean, really, in that group where we're seeking God, abiding every day, prayerful, nobody was going to come in there with no crazy this, that. We're like, listen, we read the Bible here, man.
Yeah.
Don't you come here with that stuff.
Exactly.
You show me in the Bible where that is.
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have an abiding relationship with God, you're not abiding with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, sharing God's word, praying for each other, being transparent, being the church.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, how can we focus on going? All we can do is simply be. We got to be the church.
That's right.
This is the safeguard. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of the world rather than on Christ. Mm-hmm. I'm amazed at the amount of people that are so concerned about being deceived.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are a lot of times same folks that don't even read the word. I'm like,
Right.
I think a safeguard for not being deceived is to spend time in the truth.
Yeah.
If you spend time in the truth and with the truth,
right,
then you're gonna see it a mile away.
That's right. You'll see it coming.
So we want to encourage you. We want to encourage you today that, you know, in this Rethinking Church moment, let's focus on being the church. Let's focus on carrying each other's burdens and developing authentic relationships that are going to help us walk this relationship out with God. It's not just like a pet me up or a cheer me up, but you know what? God's called us to do something in this life. You know, we have responsibilities as fathers, as mothers, as husbands, as wives, as ministers, which are servants of the gospel, right? Servants of God.
Mm-hmm.
God expects fruit from us.
That's right.
So how do we implement what God, right? Because we're not going to be hearers, but that's God's right. called us to be doers.
Right.
And that's the thing today. A lot of the church right now, they're just hearers.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, listen, God's going to hold us accountable for every message, every revelation.
Mm-hmm.
To much is given, much is required.
That's right.
And so we're not reading the word or gathering just to get more information, but we're gathering so that we can have revelation, so that we can begin to start walking this thing out in our life, walking this relationship out, so that we can have fruit for them.
That's right.
But no man's an island.
Mm-hmm.
No woman's an island. We need our brothers. We need our sisters. And we're better together. We can walk this out together and be what God's called us to be.
That's right.
The family of God.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I remember when I had to hire folks for employment and fire folks, and I just never liked doing that.
Yeah,
uncomfortable, man. Yeah. It was, I would stay up all night. I mean, it was the most difficult thing in the world for me to do. I mean, just could not do. I was horrible at it. And I think I was more nervous than the person. They were like, it's okay. It's all right. I understand. I'm like, I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry. And I used to work with a gentleman at one time. He was like the general manager at one place I worked. And I was another manager. And we would, we had to, you know, fire some folks.
Mm-hmm.
He would have me come in the office with him, and we would speak to the employee. And he had such an amazing way, or interest. This is amazing. Say interesting way of
unique.
Yeah, unique. That's a good way. to unique say the least. Way of letting people go, firing them. And he would say like, Pat, listen, I brought you in here to the office and want to talk about your performance. And I just want to let you know that we appreciate your efforts here at the job and what you're doing. But as of right now, we're terminating your employment. And we appreciate you giving a good effort and trying, and thank you very much. And if you need anything else, you know, please feel free to let us know. But we're, you know, thank you very much. And he'd walk out.
Short and sweet.
And they look at me like, did I just get fired? I'm like, yeah. Yeah. I mean,
yes, sir. Yes, you have.
Yeah. That, and they were like, okay. You know, and it's like, wow. Just like that. And he was able to do it. And I'm just sitting there like, oh, my goodness.
Smooth. Wow. That's so smooth.
And it was interesting. And the key phrase here is that we're terminating your employment. Not you. The employment. So they're able to save face because they can say, hey, you know.
Hey, that's right. Hey, they got rid of my job. It wasn't me after all.
I feel so much better that I didn't get fired.
It was my employment.
But
my employment got terminated.
My job got removed from me.
Oh my goodness.
Because if you go back and listen, I ponder on this quite often. I ponder on the moves, the powerful moves of God in the past, and men and women that God has used, and obviously God partnered with them, you know, or they partnered with God to do something. So you want to look at, what did they say? What was their message? What did they tell mankind?
Mm-hmm.
And it's nothing like today.
Right.
There's this thing about people who change the doctrine of God and for doctrines of men. They're good speakers. They're really good orators. They have ability to get a crowd and have ability to make things seem just tickles your flesh. It makes, because, you know, if we live our life trying to make our flesh comfortable, when somebody tells us about a God who's all about our flesh and making our flesh comfortable and giving us some sort of blanket grace that we can send, then somebody who's flesh driven just buys into that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh my goodness, I didn't know that God was of the flesh.
Right.
You know? And
I can have that too.
Yeah. They would think these guys are insane. They would think that Jonathan Edwards had lost his mind. And many
Leonard
did.
Ravenhill.
Leonard Ravenhill, who would ride a bus, sleep in a tent, and spend all night with one convert to make sure he got it.
Mm-hmm.
Amy Semple McPherson, and people that would get in their cars, you know, their model almost just invented car, and drive across the town with a tent. Not a big tent, a little small little pop-up tent that she could sleep in while she was going to another place, in hopes that she could preach the gospel, or going down into the streets and standing on a chair so people would just be attracted and look around, and then she would grab the chair and run up into a particular place, and people would run after her, and then people would close the doors behind her, and people would be locked in there, and she started preaching the gospel. Bam, bam. You know, people got saved, and that's where the Angelus Theater comes from in L.A. Mm-hmm. And all the things that are happening comes from her ministry. She was the first Christian female, or female period, I believe, that owned a radio station in America. Just all these things. And it's like, these messages would not even, and it's like, has God changed or have we changed?
Mm-hmm.
Mom.
Has God, of all these guys, is it sort of like God's going, you know, that was in black and white. Today we're in color. You know, that was back then when they didn't have Google.
Mm.
There's a play out right now. The play out right now. Like, I can't get a chance to check on anything about it, but just the title of it totally just confirms what we've been saying all along. It's called Google God.
Oh, wow.
Google God.
Really?
Yeah, and tomorrow we're going to be talking to you about how the goal of these corporations, that's what they are, businesses, are to integrate their product with your body, to integrate it so that you can have more knowledge. And we're going to talk about the quest for knowledge is not the same as the quest for the knowledge of God. Many people are saying, well, God wants you to have knowledge. No, God wants you to have a knowledge of God.
Right.
And with the knowledge of God, all things come to you that you need. But a man's quest for knowledge outside of the knowledge of God is what puffs up a man. And so we have all this knowledge just being piled on top of us, more stuff than I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
And people are running to Google instead of running to God.
Mm.
It doesn't cross their mind. They say, what do you think we should do? I don't know. Did you Google it yet?
Mm.
It used to be, did you pray yet?
Right.
did you pray? It's like, well, we can't hear from God anymore. So we just go to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And it just, like, oh my goodness.
Wow.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
And we just kind of lullaby ourselves to sleep and find out, oh my goodness, what are we doing? And somebody says, you're insane. What are you doing saying that we need to turn from that? And don't you understand how the culture is today? It sounds like all the prophets of the past, don't it?
Yeah.
Put your shoes on. Put your clothes on. What you doing? Ooh. Eating dung by the fire? Why are you doing cutting up the prostitute and scattering everybody around? All this crazy, crazy. Lost their minds. It's like, you know, this is the big thing the Lord showed me. Showed me very specifically. And I shared this with somebody. And one of the things that he showed me was that a hole was being dug in the wall. A hole was being dug in the wall. And everything was being moved out, like luggage and that type of thing.
Mm.
And God showed me a prophet. He had a prophet do that. And the prophet was doing that to symbolize to all of God's people that, you know, judgment's coming, that your walls are about to have been broken into and that type of thing. So the prophet dug his way out of the wall. And, of course, somebody told me, nah, that couldn't be. And, of course, since then, everything's falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
And including them. Anyway, so it's, you got to understand that God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Mm-hmm. Cool. He's a holy God. And you know, me personally, I feel like, Lord, I need more covenant with my life in this age that we live in.
That's right.
It's just so dirty. It's just dirty, the way that things are done.
Absolutely. You know, and everywhere you go, you see sin and you see just God's standard just being eroded. Even on probably just television, just watching anything, even the commercials. And it's like, you know what? We're going to have to be more engaged as believers. We're going to have to be more engaged in our walk with God. And I love what you said about, you know, making a covenant with God even more during the time that we live in, to say, God, you know what? I just want to make sure that I am where I need to be with you, and I want to be sold out with you, and I want to be in a place where I'm honoring you in every area of my life, and making sure that I am living, you know, the way that you want me to live. And not just, we're just talking about not every day just a walk. We're just talking about, you know, staying hot, staying on fire for the Lord, staying in the place of miracles, staying in the place where we're chasing hard after him and seeking his face, and not just looking at the things that are happening around in this world.
Well, the whole thing is, did he change or did he not change? And if he did change, why did he hold people in our past such to high standards? And now he's got low standards for us. We've gone so far that we have to ask ourselves, if we go back 10 steps, are we still in darkness?
Mm.
You know, if we radically change our lives, you know, are we still in darkness? I'll tell you what, the generation that I'm talking about, you know, Azusa Street, Charles Seymour, mm-hmm. I'm talking about John G. Lake, I'm talking about, you know, others that have gone before us, they would look at, they would wonder, this is what they would wonder. I'm at Jonathan Edwards. They would wonder if anybody in today's professed church even knew God.
Mm.
That's right.
Don't you think so?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, the things that they considered wrong before God and unholy and compromising and friendship with the world. And I mean, when the church first came to America, I mean, the Bible was their rule.
That's right.
And all of a sudden, the church has slid into now the world's laws are our rules and the Bible is optional. And so they would excommunicate people from their city who were doing things that was bringing, you know, danger into their city. I mean, there was serious stuff they would do.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Edwards would have this declaration. He would say, I resolve never to do anything which I would be ashamed to do if it was the last hour of my life. It's like, where has that gone?
Yeah, and the thing is with that, you say, well, if I do that, if I make those kind of decisions and make a covenant, then I'm going to lose a lot of relationships with people who choose not to make those covenants. Or people are going to take on a religious spirit, and when they're around you, they'll act like they made the covenant, but in their tents, they're still living for the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And so you end up creating this, you know, this huge storm, but that's what Jesus did. Jesus said, you know, that, and the thing about it, it's not about, and it, you know, if I was going to fail, I'd fail on the side of wanting to obey God, wanting to do what was right and works. I mean, you want to actually work. You want to have fruit, you know, and that means fruit. Not you're not saved by works, but don't get so carried away with a message today that says, you know, that you don't have to do. You just say a prayer, and it's like, really? That's like saying that your wife, all she had to do was say "I do" and nothing else the rest of your marriage, and you're gonna have
hello.
One. And she looks at you and she says, "Honey, we're married by grace."
Mm-hmm.
And you would say, "I don't think so, honey,"
because
it's about a relationship. Mm-hmm. The thing about it, if you did make a choice to marry me,
mm-hmm.
you know, 2 years ago, 10 years ago, then there would be fruit in our marriage and our life that you wanted to be married to me. You're doing things mm-hmm. not because you're earning something. It's because you made a decision the day we got married that you're going to be my wife.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to God, how do people go like, I don't understand, you know, why does he want me to be loyal to him? And why is he upset that I'm cheating on him and having other gods? And and why does he really mind that 97% of us are robbing him? Come on. I mean, you know, and you know, plain as day, if your wife was robbing you, you know, and, mm-hmm. and stealing from you, you'd be upset. You'd go, she'd go, listen, it's grace, honey. It's grace. It's like,
yeah, right.
Listen here, Gracie.
Right.
Go get the family money and bring it back in here, right?
Right here.
It's just a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to God, people get blurry. It's like, come on. I'm thinking about I've been pondering this. You know, has God changed or have we changed?
Mm.
Now, I can tell you this. The way that the enemy delivers darkness has changed. The way that he's able to creep. And there was a day that you used to have to go buy something that was sinful. Today, they deliver it to your door. They bring it to you virtually. I mean, the enemy's trying every way he can to just infiltrate every individual life on the face of the earth. You have parents trying to raise their children. And yet their children are, you know, saying, listen, I need a cell phone. Or you have fearful parents saying, I need to buy you a cell phone. And all of a sudden, the second they get a cell phone, they're connected and integrated with the entire world system, despite you parenting them or not.
That's right.
Anybody can communicate to them. You don't have to know what's going on. They can go out and virtually do this stuff and communicate and whatever. And it's like the enemy's trying to have a direct contact with everyone, where God has a desires a direct personal relationship with you. The enemy can't do it outside of manipulation, control, and technology and all that. But God, there's a thing called a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, where every day you walk and you pray and you talk to him, and nobody knows about that relationship really but you and him, and they know you have this relationship by your fruit. Well, now you got this whole thing going on in darkness where people are having this relationship in darkness with technology, and they're getting around, and it's like nobody knows this of God, that you have this relationship with darkness, but they know you're having it by your fruit, what's happening in your life or what's not happening in your life. And it's just like, oh my goodness, there's a counterfeit to it. It's just a counterfeit to what's going on. We have to make up our mind. You know, a quest for knowledge or a quest for knowledge of God.
Mm.
When people say, well, I don't need that much of God. And it's like, we've settled for the knowledge. We're resting on the fact that we know enough to get us through this.
Auto Docs of Pensacola is where all Sid cars go to get well. ASC and Toyota Master Technicians are at hand, specializing in automotive repair, transmission repair, vehicle maintenance, and so much more. Call and make an appointment for your Sid car today. Visit Miss Sue's Vintage Market for your special one-of-a-kind gifts and for all your antique decor. Vintage, rustic, distressed furniture, collectibles, on the corner of Ensley and North Palafox, where you can buy, sell, and consign. Visit Sue today. Finders Keepers, a unique boutique with thrift shop prices, where you can find anything from furniture, clothes, jewelry, and so much more. Visit Mary today in Pensacola on Gulf Beach Highway and get you a great find today. Oh my goodness, Auntie's Restaurant Barbecue, a taste of Southern soul on Highway 29, just 1/4 mile north from Kingsfield Road, right on the right-hand side. Come on in and get some. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.